Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's interview is with civil rights leader and torchbearer, Mr. Willie T. Clay. For those of you who do not know who Mr. Willie T. Clay is, he is also the first person to walk across America. He is also the author of The Big Walk, and he was given the torch by Mr. Reverend Shuttlesworth. Hello, how are you, Mr. Clay? How are you doing?
Hello, thank you for having me on.
You're more than welcome, sir. One of my first questions would have to be this. Why did you decide to walk across the United States of America?
I was pressured by the fact that there was a clear vision to me that integration was not a good thing. I was in the Mans Hotel. We had offices. My corporation had offices in the Mans Hotel, which was a black-owned corporation. They were doing segregated time. There were black businesses, soul food restaurants, and, you know, a community of the regular businesses. So we had contracted with King's Record that we could have access to their entertainers. Their entertainers at King Records was, of course, the famous James Brown, B.B. King, Dinah Washington, you name them. They were in our office, and they were in the hotel. And it was a flourishing community. Then segregation legally ended in 1960, and I get angry when I think of this. All of the activities, the successes that took place, vanished within weeks. No entertainer was in my office. No entertainers were having dinner or lunch in the hotel. And so when they finally drifted in, and I got wind of it, I would ask them, "Why aren't you here?" And they said, "Well, you know, we don't have to be segregated anymore. I'm staying down at the Hilton or whatever hotel that was there." And since that time, I didn't know what to do. I was very upset, and I kind of figured that I figured that integration has something to do with this, that we're not segregated. What is segregation? I don't think black people know what the word means. Segregation, that's unity. That's power. That's resources. And What is integration? Integration is entering another facsimile of something. It's integrating and becoming accepted by another resource, another force. We lost our unity. We lost our power. We lost everything. So I got so upset that I lost my business, and I lost my family, of course, and because I was distraught. So I finally said out that we had joked about it, me and my college buddies. We joked about walking to California, being that we were actors, and getting the publicity and so forth. And so I thought of the walk. I needed that walk. I needed that solitude. I needed that power of thinking. I needed that rest. And so I took off with no money in September, and had $10, and I accidentally told that to the interviewer, Shadakati on Channel 9 in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they spotlighted the news of my attempt that night. And when he said the boy only has $10, and that went across the world, that $10, and attempting to walk across the United States. So that's how that's what I did.
Okay. So you at that time you were the first person to ever walk across America.
No, not person. I want to make that clear. South African man walked across the United States in 1955, and his time, you know, it was all promoted. So, you know, they had the buses and the whatever they needed on the trip. They spent, you know, nights in hotels and things. So he did it in 15 days, which was good. And then an English doctor who was promoting vegetarian. She did it from San Francisco, I think, to Washington, D.C. I forget the time span, but she was accompanied by two soldiers who had gotten discharged. So
who accompanied you, Mr. Clay?
Loneliness, hatred, but I was happy because I was happy to be out there because the wilderness, you know, not having a mother or father when I was from 18 months on, I had no mother or father, so I was always assigned to a relative or a neighbor, and it was lived in the country, Kodak, Kentucky, and of course, Ensley, Dulcina, Alabama is where I was born. Ensley, Alabama, I lived there, and of course, that was only a few miles from Birmingham, which my grandparents lived there, so we visited them and stayed with them sometimes. But the wilderness is my home. It's the nature. It's the sun. It's the galaxies. It's the quietness. It's the loneliness. Well, what question did you ask me? I forgot.
I was asking you who accompanied talking about people that had,
wow.
A couple other people who had walked across America.
Okay.
Well, one man from South Africa, another man from a woman walked as far as Washington, D.C. You said they were accompanied by people. And I was just asking who accompanied you and you answered the question.
Okay. Well, I get carried away. And
yes, sir. Okay. That's okay.
That's what happened. But the lady, the vegetarian, I forget the year she did it, but it was, I think, sometimes in 57, 58 or so. And I did mine. I started off from Cincinnati, September the 20th, and I made it to Watts, California, which is in Los Angeles, in 4 months and 1 day. Of course, I hadn't done the full amount, so I wanted to I hate to say this, but I have to be by myself.
You want to be by yourself.
To not want to, in other words, I want black people to be like, be industrialists.
Yes,
like
sir. Wait a minute, Mr. Clay. Hold on, sir. Get a little bit ahead. I have a question, okay, sir?
Okay, go ahead.
You handed the torch, the silver handed torch to be the civil rights torchbearer by Mr. Fred Shuttlesworth?
Yes, Fred Shuttlesworth, yes.
Okay.
I did some things in Alabama, in Georgia, Alabama, in the state of Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, when I was in the Army. I did some things that was newsworthy, and my white friend was walking from the bus station out in the city to go to a movie, and a policeman stopped us and said, "We can't walk together, that it's not allowed here in Augusta, Georgia." So we argued, and I told him that we're going to walk anyway, no matter what you say, because we're in the Army. We have our Army uniforms, and I was scheduled to go to the war. And he said, "Well, if you choose to walk, I'm going to shoot you." And so me and Joseph held hands, and we took one or two or three steps, and the policeman pulled his gun, aimed it, but he couldn't shoot. He kneeled and dropped the gun. And that incident led me into making lectures in Augusta, Georgia, in churches, homes, and community centers and things. So I was in the choir, Augusta Choir, and we sung at Ebenezer Baptist Church where I lectured.
That's Dr. Martin Luther King's church, isn't it?
That's Martin Luther King Sr. was the pastor, and I met him. And he at first didn't want me to speak because I couldn't speak good English. I was a Southerner, and I spoke with the country dialect. And he didn't like that, so I made the speech anyway. And from that time on, people remembered me from the incident of the gun, of the policeman with the gun.
Okay.
I get so excited about.
Yes, I know. I can hear it in your voice. I'm going to go on to the next question, okay?
Okay.
Okay. What you've been talking to me about.
But yes, Shuttlesworth in Birmingham, in Cincinnati, gave me the symbolic torch in 2006.
Okay, 2006. Okay. So why do you believe
today,
that black people should try to focus on American capitalism, known being a part of the mainstream of the United States of America instead of living in the past? And why
I didn't hear the
that?
First part.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear
That's
the
okay.
first of that. Go ahead and say it again.
Yes, sir. Why do you believe that black people should try to join the mainstream in the United States of America and join in a capitalistic society? Countries. Why should economics be really important to own, not just houses, as you talked about, but corporation, major corporation, not just entrepreneurship? Why do you believe that is important for more blacks to do that?
Okay, I still didn't hear the first part of the question, but I'm going to talk about, just mention about capitalism. This is a capitalistic society, meaning money, meaning ownership, meaning inventions, meaning venture out into businesses. Well, in the late 18th century, blacks, through the help of people like Booker T. Washington, Marcus Garvey, and so forth, They were responsible for blacks building an industrial nation. We had the baseball league, the Negro baseball league. We had the where's my memory now? In other words, we had airplane fleet out of Marcus Garvey's efforts, and I can't think of, my mind is so busy now that I can't think of other businesses. But what happened was Jackie Robinson was picked out of the Negro Baseball Association, put him into the National League with the Brooklyn Dodgers, and that was the beginning of self destruction of black unity. We lost all of those I just thought of one. I just lost
it. It's okay. I understand what you're trying to say. Let me reiterate what you told me, Quinn.
Okay, go ahead.
You went on the air. You believe that America, that black America was better off economically when there was segregation. And because we as black people live in a capitalistic country, which, like you said, means money, that we should concentrate more on gaining things, not just eating in restaurants, as you told me, and paying people money. Because that's only enriching somebody else. But to have, like, doing segregation, our own business, our own corporate, our own hotels, and there should be a lot, and some people do have that now, but not all, not enough blacks. That's what am I saying it right?
Yeah, you're saying it right, yeah.
Okay, that's what you told me. That's what I understood you to say.
Yes. I want you to know that in Cincinnati, I did a survey before I went on the walk. I did a survey in Cincinnati, I surveyed every community. I surveyed the Jewish community, the white community, the black community, and I found that 97% of all of the businesses were owned by other races of people. Blacks only owned about 3%, and the 3% included businesses like North Carolina Insurance Company, Golden State Insurance Company out of Los Angeles, Johnson Publishing Company. They were part of our capitalistic system here. Now, what happened, because I'm familiar with Cincinnati and Los Angeles more than anything else, they lost their businesses because of reasons that I still don't understand how you could have a number one A-type business and then you lose it. Now, how they lost it was the fact that integration, black people were so used to being segregated that integration, they didn't understand it. So they didn't understand that when they spend their money in white places, that it's taken from the black community. It's like if a husband lives in this house, gets his paycheck, but he spends it at another house, this house is destitute.
Yes, understand.
And we don't understand that process. I would challenge anybody in the nation that if you follow the dollar, you'll find that every time you take a dollar out of your pocket and give it to somebody on a purchase or whatever, it goes to the capitalistic system. None of that money. We get welfare. 70% of us black people, are on welfare, retirement, and so forth. We have no capitalistic ideas, no vision of building. And I did a radio show, which hasn't been done anywhere else in the country. At KABC Radio, I had every business person, the bank, the newspaper, Golden Bird Chicken. I had everybody. James L. Jones was on the show. Mayor Tom Bradley was on the show. A psychologist out of UCLA was on. Well, I had about 80, not 80. I had about... about 30-some, these are people who own businesses. I had them on one radio show, and here's what I asked them. The bank was only about a half a block from Golden State in life insurance. So I would ask the bank, do you have customers from the an insurance company, and they didn't. In other words, being a half a block away, they didn't have bank accounts with the black bank. The black bank did not support Golden State, and then they both went out of business because black people didn't participate in the two businesses, and they both failed. And that's the same thing with all of them. Go ahead.
I hate to interrupt you, but we only have like 5 minutes. Understand, the point you're trying to make is that you have made it your life to, are your players, to commit to economic equality, inspire, to guide blacks, to invest and participate in mainstream America. And another thing he said, and I have it here in the little press kit, to keep the focus off the problems of the past and concentrate on development strategies and Black American collective wealth and to build a stabilized capitalistic standard for Black-controlled business. I understand that many Black people, I think, according to you, a little bit of me, are not economically wealthy. Is that the point you're trying to make, that we need to own more businesses?
Well, I'm really trying to say that I can only give you examples that that it's not buying Black. When you go to a Black grocery store and buy something, that person who owns the store, where does he go and spend the money you just gave him? He has to go out and give some white man or some Jewish person or some other nationality go into their store and that's where he spends his money. So when you compute all of those purchases purchases you give your money, it all goes into, and when I lecture, I have a diagram with a white bank or a bank of other races. And when you spend your 10 cents at this store, it winds up at that bank. I don't care where you spend it, it's going to wind up at that bank. Is that time up?
No. No, sir, about 2 minutes, a little more than two and a half minutes. Okay, one more thing. So basically what you're saying is mainly Black people, you're saying we have lost economic power of ownership.
Yes.
And that are you trying to say we don't have spending power? Because I don't want to argue with you or anything, because I have a lot of respect for you, Mr. Clay. But Black people, if I'm not mistaken, spend close to $1 billion a year in the United States. But you're saying
if they spend
$1 billion a year here in the United States of America, most of it is going in an upper racist pocket, not back into our own community, because we don't own enough businesses. Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
am I wrong?
You're saying it right.
Yes,
I think we have $1 trillion. I haven't looked up the figures yet, but we have $1 trillion that we're going to spend in this year. $1 trillion. None of that trillion.
Not a billion.
A trillion, not a billion. When back in my day, 20 years ago, it was the billion mark. But I'm pretty sure my advisor told me just the other day that it was $1 trillion, but I haven't checked that out myself.
And
so
that trillion dollars,
that $1 trillion that we have, only practically nothing comes back to the community, to the Black community. Because we don't own businesses like insurance, contractors, automobile manufacturing. We don't own Vaseline companies. We don't own a button company. We don't own nothing that means capitalistic improvement. So we should be building skyscrapers. We should be building cars. We should be into the industrialistic part
of the
world.
Okay. So I'm going to have to have you back, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Clay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye, sir.
your hand.